Integrity of the upright. Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 1 to 5 is the text for our consideration. Three thoughts. Just, lowly, guided. Verse 1, verse 2, and verses 3 to 5. We begin in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." The verse in Proverbs 11, verse 1, offers us two contrasting thoughts. The first part describes what is wrong, and the second part, what is correct. The bottom line is whether the action pleases the Lord. Using deceit to gain is abomination in the eyes of the Lord. Although no man may see, God sees. And so this proverb reminds us that God hates deceit. In fact, God, our God, is a truthful God. In Him is no lie. He is truth. And truthfulness characterizes Him and His people. So when we become a Christian, God wants us to put away the crookedness that is in us. Right? That is the word iniquity. Right? That is a word to describe sin. In crookedness of life. Right? God doesn't want our life to be any more crooked, but rather, He wants our life to be lived in righteousness, in uprightness. And the word there is integrity. We hear of the phrase, honesty is the best policy. Why is honesty the best policy? Well, it's because it receives the blessing of God. Proverbs 11 verse 1 tells us, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord." And the Lord wants us to think and consider how we ought to be honest, to follow Him, to live for Him in our daily life. We were sharing the story of a young man who goes to do errands for her mother. And every time she would do that, she would bring something to the shop. And the shopkeeper would receive whatever that the man would give and give to him whatever he's supposed to buy to bring home. And this man has a reputation in the sense that somehow the shop owner trusted him. So when the mother came to the shopkeeper one day to check out on the son, the shopkeeper says to the mother, "Whatever he says, that is it." You can see from his demeanor, the way he lived his life, it was very honest, it was very forthright, and therefore the shopkeeper was able to know that, yeah, every time he can trust this young man. So when mother came checking on the son, the shopkeeper came and say to the mother, "Rest assured, I believe your son would have honesty as his best policy." And we have another story concerning a little girl in New York City, and how she, as a young girl, was living a very decent, simple but humble life. one day, she was outside, and she saw a man who came and dropped his wallet, came out of the bus, dropped the wallet, and the girl, just 10 years old, took the wallet and returned to the man. The man opened up the wallet and he saw the many pieces of $1,000 notes that were inside, all intact, nothing lost. And so the gentleman asked to this young girl, where do you live? Because you confess, right, a good value system. And so he was brought to the home of this man, this girl, and father has been in a little bit of difficulty, having some debts, but he managed, right, to keep the family. And the parents told the gentleman that, yeah, we always taught her that she must not take anything that does not belong to her. And she learned this from her teacher in Sunday school. And we are happy that she is practicing it. And so this man saw that they have a good value system, and he was touched, impressed, and he actually was able to help the family, the father, to repay his debt and to give to this little girl an education. And it was described that she grew up to be a person who loved God, and she was married and to a man, a merchant in the city, and they became a good citizens who contributed well for the good values that she has learned in her young age. Well, the Lord wants us to think and consider how we ought to live such an upright life. And we noticed and we see that this cardinal teaching is so important in the life of the people of God, especially when we are out in the working world. We a deceitful person is someone that cannot be trusted. Trusted with anything. So, the man Daniel, you remember Daniel was in exile in Babylon, and the king of Babylon and Persia trusted Daniel, because the Bible tells us that Daniel is someone who would look after the interest of the king. This is a heathen man, and yet Daniel exhibited that kind of integrity. And you see also other characters in the Bible. The story of Joseph. Right? Joseph was also a slave, a boy who was sold by his brothers into Egypt, and he came into Potiphar's household. And how Joseph was such a honorable, trustworthy dependable person that Potiphar made Joseph the chief steward of his entire household. And he said, only his wife out of bounds. But that day, well, there was seduction that took place. There was a seduction that took place. And Joseph was in the room, in a room with Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife accused Potiphar, or accused Joseph. In a sense, she wanted Joseph to have improper relationship. And so Joseph's response is this, that my master has entrusted to me everything in his household. How can I be so ungrateful as to do such a wrong? He says, not to my master, but to my God. He understands that his allegiance was not toward just his master, but toward his Lord, whom he served, whom he will glorify by serving the master with integrity. And this was the Joseph who was willing to do the right thing. And so what happened? Well, he was accused by Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar bought into the story. And what happened was Joseph was cast into prison. Although he was innocent, he knew he was innocent. Well, he was doing the right thing, and he trusted God that the Lord would vindicate him, help him. And so this was a man who lived with integrity. He was able to be a man that is trusted. And that trait gave to him great length in his life. Because from prison, God is going to elevate him to the palace to become the first prime minister of Egypt, a Hebrew slave. Wow! What did God do? Well, God gave to Joseph the understanding that in Egypt there will be 7 years of famine, or 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph was given the wisdom to interpret the dream that Pharaoh had. And because Joseph had God with him and was willing to serve God with all his heart, fully devoted, honest before God, before men, God elevated him and he became the prime minister of Egypt. What a important position of honor. Did he abuse it? He did not. In that time, God gave him the wisdom to take care of the entire Egyptian economy during those times of the famine. He said to the Pharaoh, now you make sure that you keep all the good produce in this 7 years of plenty, and in the 7 years of famine, you would be able to use them. And true enough, the entire region was plagued with the famine, and nobody had food. But God blessed this man of integrity. And he was able not only to help himself, he was able to help his family who came into Egypt to be received during the time of famine. And so the Lord wants us to think and consider this life of the upright. And the Lord tells us that the man who serves God and who follows Him is blessed of God. Turn with me to Leviticus 19 verse 35. Leviticus 19 verse 35. It says here, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in matter yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. For I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. God's law for the people of Israel is that they would use a just weight, right? A weight that is worth its weight, a correct weight. And the Lord teaches us and tells us that this is what we ought to do and what should be. We thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace in granting to us these principles of life. Godly values. And as we think about the world around us today, we see these godly values undergird the nation of America to rise as a superpower. And if you trace the history of America, America's success can be traced to her strong biblical roots. Whenever men live by the principles of God's law, they prosper. And this is well said by Solomon in Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, any nation, everyone that once prospered under the ambit of God's law will find herself paying dearly for spurning God's ways. I was reading the book written by the late pastor, Reverend Daniel J. Ebert III, the book called Will Our Sons Defend the Faith? And he traces the fall of America to her departure from the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And he wrote this in the book. The American people had founded their country in the name of the Almighty God. They saw it as a place where they would be free to live a Christian life and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has greatly blessed America, and by 1940, it had become one of the world's most prosperous nations. But the God who had so blessed the land was becoming less and less a part of that country's life, he observes sadly. In the chapter, The Decline and Decay. And this was what he observed. And we noticed that the story which I have given you about the little girl in New York, come from an out-of-print book called Character Sketches for Boys and Girls by Henry Davenport Norfolk. It encourages us to live the best, the noblest, and the happiest life. In that book, he gathers the choicest stories of wisdom put together, especially from American history, to give the brightest thoughts of the masterminds and most shining examples of the highest type of successes. And we thank God for that heritage, because we, in the sense, have inherited the good values during those times. And we are thankful to God. This was the spiritual heritage that helped America in her rise to greatness. And when it was no longer applied, Reverend Daniel J. Ebert III warned of the falling away of America from the God of the Bible. And he quoted prophetically the words of Daniel Webster, one of America's greatest statesmen and orator, who had warned America against turning away from God. It says, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." This is the story of America's fall on the economic front. The impact which was felt not only in the country itself, but reverberates around the world. We said it begins with a just wait. The story began in 1944, when 730 delegates from all 44 allied nations gathered at Mount Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, in the U.S., for the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, preparing to rebuild the international economic system when World War II was still raging. And at that time, gold played a key role in the international monetary transactions. The gold standard was used to back currencies. The international value of currency was determined by its fixed relationship to gold. Gold was used to settle international accounts, and the gold standard maintained fixed exchange rates that were seen as desirable because they reduced the risk when trading with other nations. So the outcome of the Bretton Woods Agreement was this, that the US dollar became the reserve currency of the world. It is the only currency strong enough to meet the rising demands for international currency transactions. So the strength of the US economy, the fixed relationship of the dollar to gold at US$35 an ounce, and the commitment of the US government to convert dollars into gold at that price made the dollar as good as gold. In fact, the dollar was even better than gold. It earned interest and was more flexible than gold. This marked the rise of America as a new global leader. The balance, the true balance of fixing the dollar to gold, provided stability to the world, the world's monetary system, and acted as a deterrent against fraud and abuse. But it became a false balance. A time came when this balance was shaken. On the 15th of August 1971, the US unilaterally terminated convertibility of the dollar to gold, ending 27 years of honest trading and signaling the start of 40 years of lawless printing of money from 1971 till today. This unpegging action, referred to as the Nixon shock, created a situation in which the US dollar became the sole backing of currencies and the reserve currency for the member states. states. The US government from then on was able to unilaterally print the dollar without the backing of an equivalent amount of gold. You see, to mine gold, you have to take many, many tons of material in order to be able to come up with a little quantity of gold. So economic progress was very conservative, 2%, 3%, because that's as much as you can do with existing technology to unearth gold. And progress was steady. But when the unpacking was done, you find that the nation was able to create money out of the air. So we said the good balance became a false balance. And this has resulted in great bubbles that is existing today in many nations of the world. And this inflating of currency, you see, has caused great turmoil in many nations. In the recent news, in the newspaper, you read the nation of Venezuela. You heard of Venezuela? How the currency of the nation is becoming almost next to useless. With the ability to inordinately print money without just weight, cost currency to just go out of hand. You do not have to work, in other words, in order to get your pay. Money can be created out of thin air. And so the Lord wants us to see, wants us to understand, to know that, well, in the world today, a system like that cannot hold itself. And may God be merciful as we look at the world around us. And as a people of God, we don't want to be involved in such a system. In 2017 and 2018, as a people, we have, in a sense, experienced this great turmoil that has come out as a result of this inordinate printing, causing what we call investments to be packaged and sold all over the world. And there are many who have bought in to this fraudulent investments and have lost not little of their fortune. A false balance and a just weight. Well, the Lord tells us of the danger. And the Lord is sounding an alarm to His people that we are to be careful how we ought to be living our lives. Give this example of selling noodles. If you are selling noodles and you give a good bowl of noodle for what is paid, good quality, do you think your customer would not come back to you again to buy a second bowl? But if you would skive so that your bowl of noodle is not worth its weight, do you think you would be able to do a good business? Would your customer come back to you again? Of course not. They don't trust you. Your bowl of noodle is not worth its weight. And so God teaches us, gives us good values. And if you would follow them, you would become a noodle seller and you sell a good bowl of noodle. Do you think you would prosper? Do you think your customers will come back to you again? Of course. God gives and teaches us good principles. And the Lord tells us that a false balance is abomination to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you want to give somebody something, you make sure that you take, you know, in the olden days, they measure whatever that they want to exchange in an ephah basket. So you put a basket, you have a basket that measures at a certain dimension, and you put whatever that you want to give away inside. And our Lord Jesus says, you make sure that you put the full weight of it, press down so that there's no air in between, right? And even giving a little bit more, provide the just weight. That is how God's people ought to live. The Lord says that it is an abomination to use a false balance. And therefore, here, the Lord says that it is an abomination. God hates such deceit. God hates such falsehood. And so, we need to be able to learn and learn well God's laws so that we may be able to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. A second thought in verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Well, when pride comes, when we would choose and we would want to not do an honest day's work. We want it fast. We want to grow big very quickly. And we try to cut corners. The Lord says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, if we'll be willing to continue to do our honest day's work, would you not prosper? You would prosper because day to day, with your honest labor, whatever you earn, I can tell you, though it may not be that big amount, it's a lot, you know. God will give you that wisdom, how you can apportion it, how you can use it, how that amount that God gives you is able to do many things. Now, that's the wisdom that God brings to us. And so the Lord says that we are to live humbly, be willing to take it slow. Right? You remember the story of the 2% gold. Right? Not easy to mine gold. Right? You can't have your 20%, 30% growth every year when it's not comes with true productivity, with a true innovation. So the Lord teaches us and shows to us a right principle. So verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Because you would be willing to be honest, you'd be willing to trust the Lord, God will see to your well-being, in other words. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. You may buy wisdom, in a sense, your own wisdom, able to think that you want to make a quick buck, right? Without an honest labor. Very often you see many fall by the wayside. And there are so many examples. And so it is a warning to the people of God that we are to be very careful, that we may not, in a sense, squander what God would have for us, because we became greedy and because we would like to make that quick profit. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. God provides us the perfect way, his way, the way that is right in his sight. And the Lord wants us to take hold of his word, take hold of his teaching, right? To live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. And the Lord's promise is that he will take care of you. May God grant us his grace to trust him, to follow him, to do his will for his own honor and glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy mercy, thy grace in teaching us the lesson of integrity, the lesson of honesty. May thou build in us an understanding that we want to please thee because thou art a truthful God. And Lord, help us to flee from every deceit and falsehood in our lives. Let our lives be lived with integrity, with honesty, with uprightness, receiving thy praise, thy honor, and our well-being. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.